You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, November 9th, and welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill video game podcast. Every week, I, John Wall, bring you the latest gaming impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in 15 minutes to fit your busy life. Welcome to the show. I am happy to have you here today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about Marvel's Spider-Man 2. And to make sure that you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show, which is available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio. And I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review while you're there. It really helps to spread the word about the show. Also, if you would like to chat about today's episode or just talk games, you can find me on Twitter, Threads, or Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. Every week, I start off the show by sending out some positive vibes. It's a special shout out to somebody whom I admire and appreciate in an attempt to spread some good energy and make the gaming space a bit more friendly. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Timur Hussein. Timur is the managing editor for GameSpot as well as creative director for Giant Bomb. And you can find him doing all sorts of games coverage from reviews to videos to podcasting. He kind of does it all, including dabbling recently in the world of comic book writing. He has also been outspoken about what's been going on in Palestine, and he's been speaking out about it for years, really, not just since the most recent events. While so many games, media folks, and content creators seem to have been silent about the killings of thousands of people for fear of backlash and losing followers, Tam has been sharing what's really going on there every single week. And for that, I want to thank him and encourage others to do so. And he also has really good taste in Sylvester Stallone movies. So good on him. For as popular as superheroes are in popular culture these days, creating a great superhero video game seems to be a lot harder than you'd think it would be. There have been a lot of good games. You know, there's Injustice, the Lego games, Ultimate Alliance. These are all good games, but I could probably count the number of truly great ones on one hand. There's, of course, the Arkham series, which is still probably at the top of the list. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, that's one of the best 2D fighters of all time. And then, of course, 2018's Spider-Man from Insomniac. That game captured the feel of being Peter Parker better than any game before, and it was really an absolute joy to play. It was followed up in 2020 with Spider-Man Miles Morales, a game that to many people was an improvement on the original due to its shorter, tighter campaign and the focus on Miles, who I think is a bit more interesting of a character than Peter. So that brings us to this year's Spider-Man 2 and the question of what does Insomniac do to make this game stand out from its predecessors? And for the most part, I think the answer was make it bigger. For this sequel, they've nearly doubled the size of the New York map, and now you've got twice as many Spider-Mans to play as, with the ability to switch back and forth between Miles and Peter. But does bigger necessarily make this game better? Or are they running the risk of, let's call it, Assassin's Creed-ing this series and filling it with so much bloat that it takes you 100 hours to get through it? Well, I'll get to that, but let me set the game up first. The game starts out with Miles and Peter doing their friendly neighborhood Spider-Man thing, and Pete's friend Harry coming back after making a miraculous recovery from the illness that they briefly touched on at the end of the first game. It seems that Oscorp has found a way to contain his disease. And if you have seen any of the marketing for this game, you can probably take a guess as to what that might be. Meanwhile, the villain Kraven has set his sights on New York to try and find a prey worthy of his hunt. And the Spideyverse is filled with plenty of superpowered characters to test his skills. I think that the plot is definitely one of the best parts of this game. The way that the stories of Peter, Miles, Harry, and Kraven all connect and all come together is super well done. And while I haven't quite made it to the finish line yet, I'm very close to the end. I'm pretty confident that they're going to stick the landing based on what I have played so far. As far as the gameplay itself goes, you're going to find that it plays pretty similar to the previous games in most ways. It features that same Arkham-inspired combat system that the last games had with, you know, quick, frenetic fighting that has you zipping back and forth between enemies, with several rechargeable special abilities and gadgets to use. I do find all of the options a little bit much for my brain between the four special abilities and the four gadgets and all the different combos that you can learn. I usually just kind of keep my playstyle pretty basic, which is what I did in the first game too, which still works completely fine. So you can, you know, I think learn as much or as little of that move set as you like. There are two new additions, though, which do change up the formula just a little bit. Like I said before, you now have the ability to switch back and forth between Peter and Miles. They play mostly the same, but there are some differences in like the special abilities, as well as there being some missions and side quests specific to each character. Personally, I prefer playing as Peter because I like his abilities more and his powers more, even though I do find Miles to be more interesting of a character. And then they've added the ability to glide, or really it's flying, which, you know, like the combat system, feels heavily inspired by the Arkham games and how Batman would glide down from the rooftops. I really haven't used this too much, though, for a couple of reasons. First is that, for me, it just doesn't feel very Spider-Man-like to be flying across the city. It controls well enough. It's fun, but it just feels a little out of place, maybe, for me. And second is that I just haven't had too many occasions where it felt necessary. Swinging between the buildings just feels so much better than flying, and it's so much more fun. And other than a few times when, like, I'm crossing the river, I just haven't felt any real reason to do it. But while the gameplay feels a bit safe or familiar, it's still really, really fun, and it's that story and that presentation that really takes this game to the next level. Nobody quite pulls off thrilling cinematic action like Insomniac, and this game is full of amazing moments that will leave your jaw on the floor. The world is gorgeous, the boss fights are spectacular, and the story that they're telling is really quite good. If I had to knock the game on anything, it would probably be that I think it's just trying to do too much. You know, they've doubled the size of the world map, but didn't really do anything to justify that. You know, there's no narrative or gameplay reason, and it just seems like something to add as a bullet point. And the unlockables are especially, I found, convoluted. You'll be collecting skill points and city tokens and tech parts and hero tokens, and I think there's even one more that I'm forgetting. And you'll use these to unlock all the different suits and upgrade your suit tech and unlock abilities and unlock and upgrade the gadgets and fill in three different skill trees. And it's just way too much, and it overcomplicates things. On the plus side, though, for as overstuffed as the game sometimes feels, if you really want to just cruise through the main plot with minimal side quests, which is kind of what I'm doing, that's a perfectly valid way to play, and you'll get through the game in under 20 hours. Aside from those few issues and the feeling that it's kind of more of the same, Spider-Man 2 is still one of the best superhero games around, and it is a very good reason to own a PS5. The gameplay is super fun, the story is well told, and it's a beautiful showcase for high-end presentation. I think it's definitely going to make an appearance on my top 10 list this year. Last month, I had a birthday, and for a gift, my wife and I decided to upgrade our living room television. I've got a pretty nice, newer 60-inch TV down in the family room where I do most of my gaming, but our living room set was older, it wasn't 4K, and it had started to act up a little bit, so we decided it was time to upgrade, and we headed over to the nearest Best Buy. Now, buying a television is pretty big deal, and there's a lot to consider and options to weigh. I knew there were a few things I wanted. I wanted four HDMI ports, 120 hertz refresh rate, and I also knew that I wasn't going to spend the money for a really high-end OLED screen just yet. That's probably something that will happen when I upgrade that family TV one day, but I still wanted a nice set. So after doing some online research and checking out reviews, we ended up purchasing a Samsung 55-inch QADC QLED 4K Smart Tizen TV. And I thought I'd share a few thoughts on that. First things first, the picture's really nice. I know a QLED isn't quite up to the OLED levels of quality, but it's a really good step up from what I had. The whites are bright, the blacks are really dark, and the colors are vibrant and bright. Whether I'm playing Spider-Man or Super Mario Brothers Wonder or watching a 4K movie, the image is clear and very impressive. Now, I've yet to grab a new soundbar yet, but the sound out of the set is also pretty decent, and it'll do the trick until I pick one up. I also really dig some of the features that I hadn't seen yet in some of the newer smart TVs. You basically have three pages to choose from on the left side of the screen when you turn it on. There's ambient, which is things like your 4K fireplace videos and relaxing oceanside, you know, videos if you want to just chill out and do yoga or something. And then there's media, which has all your TV apps like Hulu and Prime Video, as well as the web browser and options for connecting your phone or laptop. And then there's the feature that I was most curious to check out, the Samsung Gaming Hub. Here you'll find apps like Xbox Game Pass, NVIDIA GeForce Now, Amazon Luna, and even AntStream Arcade, which I talked about on an episode earlier this year. It also automatically detects which consoles you have hooked up, and it's got cool icons for each of those, which makes it really easy to switch back and forth between your inputs. As far as streaming games right to the TV, like with Game Pass, it worked good. You know, your mileage is going to vary depending on your internet, but I usually clock around 200 to 300 megabytes per second, and I still had the occasional stuttering and latency issue. It's close to being a really great option, but I still don't think I'll play too many games this way exclusively. All told, it's a great TV. For around $1,000, if you are looking for a new set this holiday, looking for an upgrade, I think it's a really good mid-range option. thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day for me. Don't forget, you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for Midlife Side Quest on Threads, Twitter, and Facebook. So until next week, be well and happy gaming.